Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Milwaukee Brewers podcast comes at you on a Monday morning. The Milwaukee Brewers had quite the week. They went out to San Diego and swept what's considered to be one of the best teams in the National League. They come back to the Midwest and win 2-3 against the Chicago Cubs. Three series against the Cubs this year, three series victories, a very good start to the season for the first place Milwaukee Brewers. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the Journal Sentinel Brewers podcast, and on the other line is Tom Haudricourt, Brewers beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Find everything he has at jsonline.com. And Tom, the story of this week is kind of the same story it's been every week for the Brewers. They're starting pitching. Pitching in general has been really good, but starting pitching has been kind of on another level, particularly when we're talking about Corbin Burns and Brandon Woodruff. Burns will be pitching Monday at home against the Miami Marlins. Woodruff capped off this great week on Sunday against the Chicago Cubs. These guys, pretty simple. If they're pitching, the starter's going to go six innings and give up one run or less. That's kind of what they've been guaranteed with the way these two guys are going. Now, some of that starting depth gets tested with the injury to Brett Anderson and the injury to Josh Lindblom, but you've written about these guys a lot. Todd Rosiak wrote about Brandon Woodruff again on Sunday, but I mean, I don't know what else there is to say other than I don't know if anybody could have expected it to be this good. I know we knew they'd be good, but this good is really something special.
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely running out of different things to say about them, but not running out of material that they're providing to write about. You know, we did a big takeout on the homegrown pitching, as particularly Woodruff and Burns, for our opening day piece on April 1. We didn't do a separate section this year, but we did a couple of days of a lot of baseball copy. And every year we sort of struggle with, you know, who to focus on, because it's generally the kiss of death to pick somebody and then they don't perform or get hurt or something, you know. But we just thought that, you know, Burns and Woodruff had been trending in the right direction now for a couple of years. They are homegrown guys. And any team would love to have them, you know. And, you know, every time we forget that it's all about the pitching in baseball, we get reminded that it's all about the pitching. And this team is particularly indicative of that because, you know, they've been challenged offensively a lot, some of it to do with injuries. And, you know, I wrote my column this morning in the Sunday Journal Sentinel about how the Brewers have battled through a bunch of injuries that would have crippled a lot of teams. And my lead was, what would you have said if I told you before the start of the season that the Brewers would play most of April without Christian Yelich, Lorenzo Cain, and Colton Wong? And I don't think anybody would have them for 13-8. And a lot of people might have struggled to pick up 8-13, you know. So they're missing some really key pieces. The injuries have finally bled over into the pitching. They lost Brett Anderson and the guy who probably would have filled in for him, Josh Lindblom, over the weekend. And so we'll see how that goes. But it's been remarkable just the way they've pitched, and particularly those two guys, Burns and Woodruff. You know, Woodruff pitched three times against the Cubs in April, and generally it doesn't bode well for the pitcher when the hitters keep seeing the same guy because they figure him out. They figure out his patterns. He makes some mistakes against them, and he just hasn't done it. He's been a real Cubs beater. And to go 6-3, you know, in three series with the Cubs, it's always important to win within your division. They just feel really good about themselves. And, you know, how good do you think they feel about keeping the Padres in check when you realize that Fernando Tatis hit two home runs this weekend against Clayton Kershaw and two against Trevor Bauer? Four home runs against Cy Young guys, and he didn't do anything against them.
Yeah, one at-bat in particular stands out in my mind where Devin Williams pretty much had his way with Tatis, and we talked about Devin Williams struggling a little bit, but it didn't seem like Tatis was all the way kind of back from his little injury situation.
Right.
And
right.
Clearly in the Dodgers series, he is all the way back. So, yeah, the Brewers probably caught a break there and were able to win three games in San Diego is really impressive. And I think that's only going to get more impressive as the season goes on. But like you mentioned, these injuries, it's kind of interesting. We'll talk about the offense in a minute, not having Yelich, but you know, you mentioned these injuries to Anderson and Lindblom. How do you speculate this works now for the rotation? Certainly for the first two games against Miami, we know they'll have Corbin Burns and Adrian Hauser, but they're in a stretch here with 17 straight games of playing baseball. they're going to need some starters. I assumed, of course, Josh Lindblom would naturally fit in when Brett Anderson left his game in the first inning, but then Lindblom ends up on the injured list as well. Kind of a worst-case scenario for the Brewers out of that game, that Friday game. What do you think comes next? Is it a Brent Suter situation, or what are some of the other names you think are going to be in the mix for a starting spot in the meantime?
Yeah, they might decide to give Suter some starts. They've done it in the past. But, you know, he's been their primary lefty out of the bullpen, and the only other lefty they have in the bullpen is Angel Perdomo, who's just getting his career started. So I don't know if they're willing to go to take that lefty out of the bullpen. You know, will they give Eric Lauer another chance? Will Jordan Zimmermann maybe come up? I don't think he's stretched out a whole lot as a starter right now. You know, the tough thing about this from our perspective is the alternate training site is kind of like the witness protection program.
It totally is.
We sort of know who's there, but we don't really know what they're doing. Some of them are with the team on their taxi squad, but they really never tell us who those guys are. These guys are ghosts, you know. And finally, on May 4th, you know, all of this is going to hash out because the minor leagues are going to start. All these guys are going to go to Nashville. Camp Appleton will shut down because they're going to have their own baseball team playing there, the Timber Rattlers. And then we'll be able to actually look at box scores and see stats and, you know, actually follow what's going on in the farm system, not just like wonder, you know. And so but it's hard to say what they're going to do. You know, they called up Phil Bickford, but he's definitely a short reliever. And then they filled the other spot with Corey Ray. Interesting situation there. He finally makes it to the big leagues and in his hometown of Chicago. Pretty good story. But, yeah, they got some things to figure out with their pitching. It's going to be really interesting to see, you know, will they do something dramatic like an Aaron Ashby, you know, who really hasn't pitched in AAA and hardly any in AA. Who knows? You know, they're not afraid to think out of the box. And it'll be interesting to see what they do. But this is their first, you know, real hiccup with their pitching. And they lost their number 5 and their number 6 starter, you know. So we'll find out in a couple of days who number 7 is.
Yeah, I guess we will. I'm sure they'd love to get Lauer a look just to have that lefty to sort of keep teams honest as you enter the series.
Yes, they would. Yeah, and maybe it's time for him to finally do something, you know. He's been not used much, and when he has been used, mostly terrible. So, you know, and maybe he's been throwing the ball good in alternate training site. Who knows? But, you know, he was kind of like Brett Anderson when he was with San Diego. He was just sort of average, but that's okay for number 5, you know, 500 record, 4 ERA. That's kind of who Brett Anderson's been his whole career. And that's been perfectly fine at the back of the rotation. So the Brewers, I'm guessing, are going to miss him more than most people think, because he's pretty steady as the, you know, in the back of the rotation. So, and it has happened in the, you know, if this would have happened a few weeks ago, it'd been no problem because they had all those off days. They could just be creative, but now 17 in a row, they got to have 5 guys.
On offense, the Brewers have been kind of the picture of timely hitting. You know, they had a Manny Pena home run on Saturday that turned out to be the difference in the game. Billy McKinney hit a home run in San Diego. Had 3 home runs on this road trip, actually. And you look at their stat sheet, and you think to yourself, how is this team surviving without Yelich and Kane? Because it isn't just that those two guys are down. There's really only Omar Narvaez as a hitter who's truly having a good start to the year. You could maybe say, you know, Tyrone Taylor, or you know, there might be a couple other guys you could point to, but for the most part, overall, obviously, El Garcia's numbers have not been good. Keston Hira has really struggled. Jackie Bradley Jr. hasn't really gotten going yet. How do you explain it?
Travis Shaw cooled off.
Absolutely, yeah. Hot start, but has really struggled.
Garcia and Shaw, who had been very hot for a while, have cooled off. One guy who picked up some slack over the weekend, Colton Wong.
Hello, yes.
He needs to go on the IL more often so he can come off of it and go crazy like this.
And you go on with an oblique injury. I guess I just assume it's going to take a little while to like work that out or whatever. Not so for that guy. 7 hits in the series with Chicago. Crazy.
I know. And just as the leadoff hitter, and just, you know, we all know what kind of second base he plays. You know, and Hira did swing the bat better over the weekend. He hit a bunch of Adam balls on Saturday, on Friday, and then got some hits on Saturday. And you know, it's now come out that his mom has been diagnosed with cancer, and he's had that on his mind. And so there's a lot going on there for Keston. But missing Yelich and Kane. You know, they won a game yesterday, 4-3, in which the entire starting outfield for their original starting outfield was out. Yelich, Kane, and Garcia. And they still won. You know, they're winning with Billy McKinney and Tyrone Taylor and Corey Ray, you know, and just enough of this, that, and the other thing, you know. Manny Pena with a big home run to win the game Saturday. So they're getting just enough, but it's the pitching. You know, you subtract that game on Friday and their pitching stats for the season are crazy good. And that was just the aberration of the starter getting hurt in the first inning and a guy replacing him not being ready to pitch. So it's just, you know, and their bullpen's been really good. Devin Williams is starting. He threw some airbenders yesterday and today. So he, you know, if he comes around and they get back to him in the eighth and Hader in the ninth, look out. And how about J.P. Fireisen?
He's been awesome.
Yeah. He just comes in and keeps getting people out. You know, he's all of a sudden becoming a thing. He's like this year's Devin Williams, you know, comes in and never gives up a run. So their bullpen's been very good after a kind of an up and down start. Their bullpen's had a great, and I mean great, road trip. I mean, they pitched like 11 shutout innings in San Diego. And, you know, Lindblom was a bullpen guy and he gave up 8 runs, so that's going to look ugly. But you subtract that injury, that first inning injury, and Lindblom not being ready to pitch, and then also having this knee issue come forward too. All the other guys have been fantastic. And you know what? What happened to Lindblom on Friday, is as much as the trolls hated it, it helped them win Saturday and Sunday. Because they didn't use those guys in a lost game. You know what? That game was lost. You know what? That game was lost. And so he sucked it up, took a beat, and took one for the team, made it so they didn't have to use, you know, any of their high leverage guys. And then they needed those guys yesterday. And you know, it looked like the Hader would have pitched the ninth today, but then all of a sudden, boom, they scored 5 runs. You know, you subtract the Brewers games from the Cubs bullpen, and their bullpen's been fantastic, but the Brewers have trashed their bullpen, trashed them. In 9 games, this doesn't sound real. In 9 games, Chicago's bullpen has issued, against the Brewers, 20 walks and hit 7 batters.
It's crazy. And walked in and forced in a bunch of runs that way. It doesn't feel like the Brewers are even pounding the ball against them, but they're constantly on base and scoring, you know, free passes and stuff.
But I think, you know, Wilson Contreras needs to shut up about Brewers hitting Cubs hitters, because they just constantly hit Brewers hitters, and then they hit one in the head today too. You know, it's what set Contreras off is getting beaned. Well, they beaned Robertson today. So they just need to shut up about Brewers hitting their batters, because they've hit way more Brewers batters.
Yeah, an eventful series for Daniel Robertson. He gets hit in the head with a pitch on Sunday, and on Friday he's on the mound throwing 50 some mile an hour fastballs to try to
and giving up no runs.
And giving up no runs, having a perfect. I think he's got 3 clean innings on his ledger in his career. So he's going to be the go-to guy, I got to think.
You can't win facing a position player, because if you hit a home run, everybody goes, "Yeah, well, you should have hit a home run." But if you're making out, you're just a stooge. How did you make it out against that guy? You know, so nobody wants to face a position player. It's a no-win situation.
I want to say Tyrone Taylor hit his first home run, career home run, off a position player last year against Detroit. I might be misremembering that.
I think that's true. I think that's true.
He hit an absolute cannon this week against San Diego. Just a total incredible home run from Taylor. You know, he's looked really good, and you look at his overall numbers, and obviously it's a tiny sample, but the guy can hit, and the guy can field a little bit, and, I mean, opportunity is obviously what's standing in his way. They've got a lot of outfielders, but it's hard not to like Tyrone Taylor and not to see that there's going to be some role for him going forward, right?
Well, if Billy McKinney didn't get in line in front of him, his numbers would probably even be better, you know?
Right, yeah.
Because McKinney, you know, took playing time that Tyrone would have had. Yeah, I mean, he played great in spring training. Got cut because he was the only one with an option. Then came up and has continued to be good. You know, so he's really coming to his own. We now know he's a major league player. You know, we didn't know that, you know, before this year. But when you saw him in spring training and then, you know, coming out and picking up where he left off there, you now and he did contribute some when he came up in September last year, too. But they now know he's a major league player. And I'm not saying starting player. He's a major league player, you know. And so, I mean, without their outfield depth, remember all the gnashing of teeth the day Jackie Bradley got signed? what are they going to do? You know, and then I think most of us said, well, you know, it'll work out. And it has, not the way they wanted. But thank God that's where their best depth is in the outfield. And thank God it is, because, you know, the Yelich thing is very worrisome because they got so concerned they sent him for an MRI. And the good news was it didn't show anything. The bad news was it didn't show anything, if you know what I mean. In other words, they still don't know what it is. They sort of do, but they sort of don't. Because it's never gone on this long. Using just, you know, layman's terms, he's got kind of a trick back, it sounds like. You know, it goes out on him, and they don't know why and where and how and when and for how long. But, you know, at least they went and they ruled out a structural issue, which is good, but it's bad that it's kept him out this long. And you do wonder now just, what is this year going to be like for him? Is he going to shake this off and be okay? Or is it just going to become a nagging thing? And also, when he does come back, is it going to be like starting all over from scratch? You know, he only played a couple of weeks and went on the IL. Now, I think it's 3 weeks today he went out in St. Louis. Is it two or three? How many weeks have we played?
Yeah, 2 weeks. 2 weeks without Christian Yelich at this point. He went on the IL late last week, but he's
right,
been
but
out 2 weeks.
Came out of that game in St. Louis on Sunday. So 2 weeks ago today, you know, he came out of a game and hasn't played since. And then they put him on an IL a few days later. So, you know, both he and Kane were eligible to come off yesterday, and there was a time earlier last week where it looked for sure like Yelich would beat Kane back, but now it looks like Kane's going to beat him back. So it's just going to be interesting to see what, you know, how much longer he's out and what he's going to be like when he comes back.
Yeah, and I do feel like there's going to come a point where this catches up to Milwaukee's offense because they've been so opportunistic and because you don't have a lot of guys, again, outside of Omar Narvaez, regulars that you can say are really, really swinging the bat, although Wong maybe qualifies at that point. I just feel like at some point it's going to hit them, maybe sooner rather than later, that they don't have Yelich, because that guy is so, I mean, when he's right, he's obviously so integral to what they're doing that you have to account for him any place you are in the lineup. And right now they've gotten by with some opportunistic hits, but I do feel like there's a reckoning coming if they can't get him
back.
Well,
go to any team and take their best player away and see how they do.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, it's amazing that they were able to succeed without him to this point. Going back to Narvaez, I wonder how close the Brewers were to moving on from him this offseason. It seems like he was kind of the best of what was around, and he had to bank on some sort of bounce back, which, you know, that he wasn't going to be as bad as he was in 2020. But to think that he would have gotten back to this point, I think probably surprises even the Brewers. And I have to think they looked around, you know, for somebody who was, you know, maybe somebody who could be that starter, with Manny Pena being a pretty credible backup. And I don't know how successful they were or how seriously they would have pursued that, but it sure is looking good that they brought Omar Narvaez back. That guy is a tough out all of a sudden.
Well, I think two things worked in his favor for them not to move on. One, so many other people struggled as well. You know, if he would have been the one outlier, they would have said, well, you know, everybody else adjusted to this. Why couldn't he do it? What's wrong with him? And the other thing is, he's not only a catcher, but a catcher who's improved himself immensely behind the plate last year. He deserves a ton of credit for how much better he is defensively now, because how many guys are in the league for 3 or 4 years at that position and then all of a sudden take a quantum leap forward defensively? You know, I mean, he had a very bad reputation defensively when the Brewers traded for him, and it was all about his bat. And, only in baseball can you trade for a guy with a reputation as a good hitter who can't catch, and he becomes a great catcher who can't hit. And that's what he was last year. But now he's doing it in everything. And the pitchers love throwing to him. You know, he saves, he blocks a lot of balls that he didn't block. There used to be a lot of wild pitches when he was the catcher. And sometimes people don't understand that wild pitches, teams with wild pitches don't have pitching problems. They have catching problems, you know. And so he's so much. Corbin Burns said the other day, he was like, it was a key at bat with somebody 3-2. I think maybe Trent Grisham. And they call for the curveball in the dirt and on 3-2. And a guy was on third and he had faith in Narvaez to block it and not let it get through. And sure enough, Grisham tried to check a swing and couldn't do it and struck out. So you have to have faith in that catcher. And Burns says he rarely shakes him off. So he's part and parcel of this good pitching. You know, I mean, we already knew Pena was a good catcher, but now Narvaez is too. So they're very pleased with their catching situation now. It's why you can DFA somebody like Jacob Nottingham. You know,
right, right.
There's been many teams I covered for the Brewers where Nottingham would definitely be one of the catchers on the major league team.
Yeah, absolutely. Keith Osick, Gary Bennett. There've been a lot of luminaries.
Well, Killer Bees. We went through the Killer Bees, Bennett, Bacco, Blanco. It was a whole bunch of guys. The last thing started with me. And when I say Killer Bees, they didn't kill the other team.
there are definitely some names. There are some names. You know, I wanted to highlight again what you wrote about Keston Hira on the site this week about his mom battling a form of lymphoma. She was in San Diego, was able to watch her son play, which is a pretty cool thing, a pretty cool story. So obviously that's going on in the back of his mind. As far as on the field, pretty clear Keston still isn't quite right. And I have to think at some point we're going to be encroaching toward, as we get, you know, into May, encroaching toward a danger area where the Brewers are going to start thinking about what they can do with him. Just slugging, I think he's slugging 242 or something like that right now. He's seemingly not able to generate power. He's only got a couple extra base hits, and contact continues, of course, to be a problem as well. Still a work in progress on defense, but that would have been the case no matter what. What are you seeing out of him right now? Three hits against Chicago on Saturday, like you said. So that was sort of the bounce back moment, hit the ball hard in the series. What sort of things are you seeing from him, and how close do you think the Brewers might be to maybe looking at the alternative site or a minor league visit or whatever it would be?
Well, I think May 4th is like, you know, an important date for him because they're not going to send him down to the alternative training site, but once the minor leagues get going, they might send him down to AAA where he's playing in actual games against other teams and you can, like, you know, get yourself going again and not just playing inter-squad scrimmages every day. So I still think he's got, let's say the 25th. He's got about 10 days before they would even entertain sending him down. Now, that doesn't mean they wouldn't stop playing him every day before then. The thing that will work against Keston if he doesn't get going is when the outfielders come back, they're going to look for some place to play Billy McKinney, and then he can play first base. And it also gives him a – and now that Vogelback's – excuse me. Now that Wong is back, there's no longer Hira goes to second, so Vogelback can get some at-bats. You know what I'm saying? So right. He's lost the option of going back to his previous position. So he needs to start hitting, and I do think he's, shown some decent at bats lately. But I will say these two teams coming up, Miami and Los Angeles, have very good pitching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they don't have a lot of right-handed bats clicking at all right now. You know, with Avisaíl Garcia still struggling. I mean, and Kane out. They need somebody who can hit.
They actually need some right-handed bats for the first time all season. The next two games, they're actually going to face some left-handed pitchers.
That's crazy how long they've gone.
For the first time all year, they're going to face a left-handed pitcher on Monday. And just to show that he's not the only one, they're going to face another one on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then the Dodgers, of course, have all kinds of lefties. Some guys that some guys you may have heard of, Clayton Kershaw, Julio Urias, on and on. So, but it's incredible that they played 21 games with no lefties. And as I wrote the other day, playing the Cubs three series has a lot to do with that because they have no lefties, you know. So there was nine right-handed pitchers right there. But look at this division, and especially now, and it just struck me, now that Brett Anderson is injured, the NL Central Division, out of 25 possible starting spots, I believe is down to two lefties, Wade Miley in Cincinnati and Kim, and I can't pronounce Kim's name there, Korean pitcher from St. Louis.
Yeah.
I might be. Oh, Pittsburgh has Tyler Anderson. So it's three left-handed pitchers currently active in 25 rotation spots in the NL Central. How silly is that?
Yeah, that's really weird. A really interesting aberration. And it helps the Brewers just fine because their lefty bats can swing it and have swung it at times. So that's good for them. Before I let you go, I wanted to talk more about Corey Ray. You mentioned him at the outset. Cool, cool story. He gets the call on kind of short notice. And you talked about the taxi squad, never really knowing which players are kind of hanging around in the clubhouse because nobody can go into the clubhouse. But right. Corey Ray emerges. And I got to be honest, when he got in the game, I didn't realize that was only his major league debut. You know, he's been around the organization so long.
Right.
And I thought maybe in September or something, he's got a similar arc to Tyrone Taylor as a former top prospect who, you know, kind of saw the prospect shine go away, but he was still there, still grinding through it as an outfielder. And he gets into the game, walks, scores a run in a one run game. So has an opportunity to make a difference. He's an interesting story. I don't know how much he's going to be able to contribute. I don't know, but I'm really glad to see him here. I think it's cool that he's made it this far. And what have you seen from him? How do you think he can benefit this Brewers team?
Well, so many interesting elements about him finally getting to the big leagues. Just as we predicted all along, he would get there in his hometown, Chicago, and because a pitcher got hurt.
Yeah,
right?
No, right, exactly.
And also, I absolutely love the little nugget he gave us after the game today, that he wasn't told by counsel that he was activated till after the national anthem had been sung. That's got to be the latest call-up ever for a player that was active in that night's game.
Yeah, that's wild.
Generally, you know before the national anthem if you're in the major leagues or not.
Only can happen in 2021 when there's this taxi squad situation. It cannot happen any other year.
Right, and also because the test on Lindblom's knee came in a little later, you know, in the day than they suspected. So, but you're right. Otherwise, they would have played short and called somebody up from AAA in a normal year. And it might not have been, and in fact, probably would not have been Corey Ray. It probably would have been a pitcher, you know. And I don't know how long he's going to stay up because they do, as we noted earlier in the podcast, they do have some pitching things they got to figure out with injuries. And they don't really need a ton of outfielders. So, but just, you know, he finally got out there. He actually had a big walk in a rally that tied the game. He caught the last out of the game, you know, the last out of the game he caught out in right field. So it's just, you know, just cool. He got, I love that he immediately called his father and said, "Hey, I'm in the big leagues, you know, and
get to Wrigley."
And I'm sure his father said, "What do you mean? You know, why did you wait so long to tell me?" And he like got in traffic, Chicago traffic on Saturday evening, and made it there just in time to see Corey make his first bat, you know, come to the plate for his first at bat and walk, had a good at bat. It's just crazy. I love, but you know, I'm very biased because I've covered baseball most of my life, but the stories in baseball, and it's because they play so many games and have so many players, but yeah, their story, this. That's, you can't make that up, that a kid from Chicago gets called up in Chicago, doesn't get told till after the national anthem, is an outfielder who got activated because a pitcher got hurt, and his dad comes over just in time to see him play. You know.
Yeah.
Other than that, nothing unusual happened there.
Yeah, that's a cool story. And like I said, glad to see him here. You're right. Probably not going to be here long, at least for this turnaround, but you don't know down the line. There's obviously going to be opportunities, long season.
That's okay. Tyrone Taylor, you know, once came up and, you know, we didn't know if we'd see him again. And now, as we talked about earlier, he's definitely a major league player, you know. So Corey Ray was a first round draft pick, and not just first round, number five in the draft.
Yeah.
So he's got some talent.
Yeah. And he's played offseason ball with some of the guys in Wisconsin. He has some connections to the Milwaukee area, obviously a Chicago guy. So he's known by a lot of club players in Wisconsin, some of those guys that are trickling into the big leagues themselves. And it's just really cool. It's a cool story, and glad he got a shot. Any last thoughts before we send you away, Tom?
Well, it's not going to get, as I noted, it's not getting any easier this week for the offense because Miami's pitching is really good and the Dodgers pitching is ridiculously good. I think the highest ERA in their rotation is like 2.95. I mean, you know, Trevor Bauer, Clayton Kershaw, Walker Buehler, Dustin May, Julio Urias. Yeah, that's a terrible. What a terrible rotation they have. You know, so
at least I think the Brewers will be lined up to throw their big two, right? I think so.
They'll catch them in that series. So I mean, what's the over and under for those four games? Like 10 runs, maybe. So it it doesn't get any easier. But they're 13-8. You know, with all kinds of issues, and they're as long as they keep pitching, they'll be fine. You know, their pitching's really been good. But this is. Let's see where we are a couple of podcasts from now, because now it's 17 in a row, so no more off days, no more 5 days of rest for pitchers, and now some guys are hurt in the rotation too. So let's see how they do. It doesn't get any easier, but the best thing you can say is so far so good.
Yeah, the Brewers announced that they're releasing some extra tickets, so there are still seats available, at least there were on Sunday. Four games in the Dodger series, previously listed as sellouts, but now there's some other opportunities. Also, for Miami, Jesus Aguilar comes in on a hot streak. He's got homers in three straight games coming into this series starting Monday night at American Family Field. It'll be good to see him back again after he was part of that Marlins team that made the playoffs last year in that shortened season. They were one of the surprises of the season, so it'll be cool to see him back as well.
Yeah,
a lot
can't
of
wait. I can't wait to go by the clubhouse and oh, that's right.
No, maybe you can hop on a Zoom with him or something. Maybe he'll be amenable to that. But yeah, he is Tom Haudricourt, Brewers beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He covers, of course, the Brewers night in, night out. Find everything he has at jsonline.com. He and Todd will be at the stadium. Marlins for three, Dodgers for three. Wait,
four.
Dodgers for four. That's right. That's right. Because we are in this stretch of 17 straight days of baseball for the Milwaukee Brewers. So a lot going on at American Family Field this weekend. Hope you get out to the games, get a chance to see it in person for yourself. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We will catch you again next week. Take care.